Breaking news, this is your World War III update. Took a break from the homestead to come into the studio today to give you this information. Now, contrary to popular belief, no, I did not quit YouTube. I did, however, quit the city. That much is 110% true, which is why I got to make this really quick. But this is important. NATO is putting nuclear weapons on standby. Jan Stoltenberg insists that the bloc must show its nuclear arsenal to the world and has now given a stark warning about the threat from China. This is mainstream adjacent news from the Telegraph. NATO is currently in talks to deploy more nuclear weapons in the face of a growing threat from Russia and China, Jan Stoltenberg had said. Now remember, just yesterday I showed you images of F-35s currently being stored in Norwegian mountain bunkers. The only reason why you practice this strategic dispersal concept is if you're preparing for nuclear war. I cannot enumerate all of the data points today that suggest that we are on the precipice of a major conflict between NATO and Russia because time is tight. And quite frankly, if you need me to do that every single day, something is missing. I think 99% of you are with me in that we don't have much time left. Now, what about this is suspicious? Jan Stoltenberg added that the bloc must show its nuclear arsenal to the world to send a direct message to its foes in the interview with the Telegraph. He revealed that there were live consultations between members on taking missiles out of storage and placing them on standby. This essentially would be a run up the DEFCON ladder, which is typically not something that you would disclose to the public. Or if you did it, you would do it in such a roundabout way so to not trigger panic. This doesn't, however, account for the fact that 60% of Russians now believe that World War III is inevitable, and they only believe that Ukraine, only 1 in 10 of those people believe that Ukraine is the actual legitimate threat. 7 out of 10 actually believe that the United States is a threat. So if you are one of the people sitting here cozy in the West, separated by two massive oceans, thinking this ain't going to affect us, think again. This very obviously is going to entail the United States getting involved in some capacity, even if it only amounts to a complete cessation of the flow of goods across the Great Oceans, which of course will completely collapse our economy and make life miserable for everybody around the world. Mr. Stoltenberg said, I won't go into operational details about how many nuclear warheads should be operational and which should be stored, but we need to consult on these issues. That's exactly what they're doing. Again, nuclear deployment and readiness typically is something that is kept classified. So the fact that they are openly talking about it indeed means that it's a bit of a flex. It's a bit of a telegraph, or as they call it, deterrence to the Russians. Now, both sides appear to be doing this. Just today, there was a Russian nuclear submarine spotted off the coast of the UK. Now, still in international waters. However, this, of course, is interesting as it coincides with a nuclear-powered submarine that some former CIA analysts, like Ray McGovern, believe is actually carrying nuclear weapons, in spite of the fact that a lot of analysts are saying, no, this is just a nuclear-powered submarine. So you have all of this going on and a lot more. Meanwhile, we know that the peace initiative, if you could even call it that, really it was a war initiative, that thing that went down in Switzerland recently, that was basically just getting everybody onto a war footing. It was the complete opposite. Whatever they say is the complete opposite. But it's interesting that they are telegraphing this, even though before they did this, we already knew that the nuclear forces were ramping up. They already have the F-35s dispersed, the deployment systems dispersed. We already have the new and improved B-61 tactical nuclear weapons delivered by the United States. We already know that all of these assets, including nuclear bombers, the new stealth bomber, have been deployed, are on full deployment. And we're also seeing numerous other forward-deployed weapon systems, missile defense systems on both sides signaling that at any time, at any moment, this whole thing could go off. Of course, Alexander Vucic, as we talked about a few weeks ago, has predicted that this thing is going to pop within 3 months, possibly before that time. What I would encourage people to do right now is act as though you know shit is going to hit the fan in 3 months and live your life accordingly. This doesn't mean panic. This doesn't mean hasty decisions. This just means if you knew that something bad was coming and you were quite certain that it was coming, live your life to the fullest. Get in the best possible physical condition that you can. Stockpile as much stuff as is economically sustainable for you to do so. Again, don't make any sort of hasty, impulsive financial decisions. But right now, the writing is on the wall. And that is why I moved out of the city, because I know it's coming. So, in a wide-ranging interview at the NATO headquarters in Brussels, he said, "I won't go into operational details about how many warheads should be operational and which should be stored, but we need to consult on these issues." He gave a stark warning about the threat from China. He also said, expected a Labour government to be a staunch NATO ally and defended plans to Trump-proof weapons deliveries to Ukraine. Now, on the topic of whether or not Trump is going to continue in its support of NATO, that is a done deal. The die is already cast on this World War III thing. It is coming no matter who, which president gets into power. One of the ultimatums that Trump gave NATO was that they need to start exceeding the contributions of the 2% military expenditure threshold in order for the United States to remain involved as actively as it has been into NATO. All the intermarium states, the former Warsaw Pact countries, those who are right on the front line of this thing, have in fact exceeded greatly their commitments. So America is committed to supporting those, and I don't think there are too many now who are still not meeting their expectations for a proportion of their GDP to spend on weaponry. And if they haven't, they're insignificant in terms of militarily anyways, in terms of NATO. A decade ago, Mr. Stoltenberg said nuclear transparency should be the cornerstone of NATO's nuclear strategy to prepare the alliance for what he described as a more dangerous world. So they're trying to bring up China here. Well, of course, NATO, the NATO alliance, is primarily geared towards Russia. It's basically to defend their eastern flank, which the only eastern flank they have is Russia. So he's trying to bring up China as if this has anything to do with China. I mean, it does ultimately because, yes, many believe that China and the Russians, who are in fact training together in trench warfare and other various methods, are going to conduct and synchronize big arrow attacks at the same time. And North Korea might join in on that as well as Hezbollah and Israel. So indeed, they're definitely trying to make it out as if this is for a distant threat and not for something which could potentially happen any day now. We know Zelensky confirmed today that F-16 deliveries are imminent. A decade ago, when the 65-year-old assumed his role at the top of the bloc, nuclear exercises were conducted in complete secrecy. Okay, so now they're not doing that anymore. Now he openly praises a number of the 32 allies for contributing to the deterrent, including most recently the Netherlands for investing in dual-capable fighter jets that can host nuclear weapons. If you are in possession of a deployment system, if your country is in possession of a deployment system, whether or not you have nuclear weapons at that time, you will be a target. There is a Sarmat missile for everybody involved, for every one of the 32 states. Transparency helps us communicate the direct message that we, of course, are a nuclear alliance, Mr. Stoltenberg said. NATO's aim is, of course, a world without nuclear weapons, but as long as nuclear weapons exist, we will remain a nuclear alliance, because a world where Russia, China, and North Korea have nuclear weapons and NATO does not is a very dangerous world. And that means in a not so very distant future, NATO may face something that it has never faced before. Now, remember, they're never going to tell you the exact timeline. When they say things like 20 years out, 10 years out, They are just softening and massaging people's minds to accept what's likely coming a lot sooner. Mr. Stoltenberg's warnings came after the G7 sharply criticized China and Russia in a communique last week that called on Beijing. You see how China has just suddenly become the enemy all of a sudden? I mean, 2 years ago, when this conflict emerged, there was a debate as to whether or not Russia and China were at all strategically aligned. And now they've completely made that association completely entangled, so that to attack one is to attack another. And of course, they're starting to line it up so that if and when something does flare up in the Taiwan Strait, they're going to approach it from the perspective of axes versus allies and delineate it along eastern and western lines, not this multipolar world. That really is a deception. And I don't know who started that terminology, but the more I think about it, it really isn't a multipolar world. It still will be a bipolar world. And yes, you might argue that China and Russia at some point will have to sort out any sort of competitiveness that might emerge as a result of both of them being neighboring superpowers. But for the time being, it's a bipolar world, okay? And it's always going to be that, because you're always going to ally against your primary enemy until that enemy is defeated. Then, if there's anybody left at that period of time, then Russia and China might go to war in 100 years. The number of operational nuclear weapons is top secret, but estimates suggest that UK has about 40 of 225 deployed at any one time. The US has about 1,700 of 3,700. These numbers are virtually meaningless. When you really think about it, these are virtually meaningless numbers, especially when the Chinese don't disclose. So any sort of estimates about how many nuclear weapons are on standby or could be made ready very quickly is, I think that's just fodder for public consumption, because at the end of the day, it comes down to continuity of government, and this is classified information just like DEFCON. France, NATO's third nuclear power, does not make its atomic arsenal available to the alliance because of a long-held decision to maintain independence over its own deterrence. So in that respect, this is why many people have suspected that France has been chosen to spearhead with this whole we're going to deploy troops thing, because of course it takes the responsibility away from NATO in a nuclear sense and puts it square on France, minimizing the risk of a catastrophic flare-up of a full-blown mutually assured destruction type of nuclear war. So this goes on, and this article is rather extensive. So it's clear as day that NATO is preparing nuclear weapons. Many suspect on the other side that this is actually in preparation for a nuclear strike, a preemptive nuclear strike. We need to remember who we're dealing with here. Even if you do cheerlead and champion the Israeli cause, even if you do champion the Ukrainian cause, or even if you're the one in 1,000 people who thought the Iraq war was a good idea, no matter which one of these wars, you have to admit that the value on human life on that side of the equation is not something that is at a high premium in the minds of our leaders. Okay, now the common theme that I hear discussed is that, well, the Russians and the Chinese authoritarian societies, they're the ones that devalue human life, and they're fine with these human wave tactics where thousands of guys die and just throw as many people as possible into the meat grinder. But we have been desensitized over here as well. So do not be surprised if we are the ones, if we are just as prone to making that hasty and very consequential decision that is going to condemn us all to a future in a radiological hellscape that nobody is going to be able to escape. The best way you can prepare for it, of course, is to remove yourself as far as possible from the densely populated urban areas and try to have those self-sustaining systems in place. But more importantly, store energy in the form of food, fuel, different types of equipment, tools. These are all things you have to do, which is why we're going back to basics in the next week. We're going to be training some new people. So we're going to be doing some lighter content for people who are just getting new, just getting acquainted with this preparedness space. And oftentimes I hear, you know, the criticism of, I can never afford this, or I can never be that prepared in the state that I am now. And indeed, if you're entering at this stage of the game, you're going to be limited in terms of what you probably can accomplish if you're a person of less than modest means. That's not to say that you can't improve your situation, but what you don't want to do is prepare your situation to somebody who's been preparing for 15 years. I mean, it's like going into a gym when you've spent your entire life not taking care of yourself and thinking that you're going to be a high-level fitness athlete with a top-tier physique within a few days and getting frustrated and demoralized because you can't achieve that. Be better than you were yesterday. That is the best that you can do. Other data points of escalation today. Poland has called for Russia's dismemberment. You had another leader, I can't remember which one it was, the Dutch leader. The fact that Putin came out with this bullshit peace proposal, this is a direct quote, he swore, yesterday is a sign that he is panicking. This is good news. Well, I think Putin is panicking because he doesn't want the world to go to the brink of nuclear Armageddon. I mean, I think that's why. I think if he wanted to, he could just, you know, throw more people into the meat grinder and continue in a conventional war with NATO. But he knows that the stakes are going to be elevated much higher, which is why Russia has moved S-500 systems into the Crimean region. And you only use these, well, not only, they have extended radars that can see deeper into countries like Poland and Romania. But the primary use for this system is against satellites and intercontinental ballistic missiles. So the fact that they're being deployed that close to the front means that this thing could get very hot in a nuclear sense very soon. Melania has called for Russia's surrender. Now, there's some disagreement in terms of the translation of her statements. Some people say it wasn't as hawkish and aggressive as that quotation indicates, that calling for Russia's surrender. Some people say it was something more along the lines of, we refuse to negotiate with Vladimir Putin or something like that. But either way, you know, all things point towards imminent escalation and clash between NATO and Russia. The Russian nuclear submarine that was spotted off the UK coast did spark an emergency meeting amid defense fears. The nuclear-powered attack submarine Kazan was detected by the Royal Air Force as it sailed just off UK's coast. So that's going on. According to the Stockholm International Peace and Research Institute, nuclear proliferation is increasing. We continue to see year-on-year increases in the number of operational warheads. So maybe not necessarily the amount of warheads, but the operational ones. Of the estimated 12,000 warheads recorded worldwide, around 9,500 were a part of military stockpiles for potential use. Around 3,900 of these warheads were mounted on missiles and aircraft, 60 more than in the same month a year earlier, according to the report. And I wouldn't even take that as necessarily, for one, we really don't know how many are actually deployed, especially in Russia, seeing as there's no longer any sort of strategic treaties. But many of these things can be put together rather quickly, so it really doesn't matter how many are deployed right now. It does to an extent, because of course it does take time to get these things ready. And if you're talking about imminent nuclear conflict, then of course minutes count. But that a lot of these things are being stored in places that nuclear weapons might not be able to touch, that is even more problematic, okay? For reasons that I'm not even going to get into in this particular video. Russian warships apparently simulated a nuclear strike. So that submarine that went to Cuba recently partook in exercises that simulated a nuclear strike on American warships. This is according to a Russian military expert, Korochenko. He mentioned that Russian warships conducted drills in the Atlantic Ocean on their way to Cuba, as reported by the Russian Defense Ministry. The ministry said that a Russian Navy ship and Moscow's Kazan nuclear-powered submarine conducted the exercise to simulate a missile strike on a fleet of enemy ships. And of course, if you're talking about one against the West and a fleet of ships, Ukraine doesn't have a fleet of ships. This is not a conventional exercise. About the arrival of our ships and submarines to Cuba, it was officially stated that the Kazan is the only sub that came there as part of the naval group of warships. However, Korochenko said, in reality, we can guess that Kazan wasn't the only one submarine. Very important. He suspects that there were several submarines, which might explain the increased military presence by the U.S. Navy and the Coast Guard. Of course, they're going to minimize it and say it's no big deal, right? Even, you know, Trump, to his credit, said as much in a recent Q&A session that he was in, how the media was downplaying this. In reality, it's very significant. In reality, we can guess that the Kazan wasn't the only one, but that there were a few Russian multi-purpose nuclear subs in different parts of the Atlantic Ocean carrying out their tasks. Now, the Atlantic Ocean is massive. But of course, we know that Russian submarines are already in the Atlantic Ocean. They are everywhere. They would be there to support this particular submarine if something were to pop off. He said that the tasks are clear: countering American aircraft carrier strike groups. If a strike is carried out, as it was stated, several hundred kilometers away against American aircraft carrier strike group, this strike would be done with special ordnance, nuclear weapons, for maximum effectiveness, speed, and reliability. If you don't believe me about the NATO increasing their readiness, that's the article right there. You can go and read it yourself. It's on the Telegraph, okay? I have no reason to make this stuff up at this point in time. I'm very busy at the homestead. In fact, that's what I got to get to right now, so I'm going to cut it short today. If you want to support the channel, you can gear up with the top-tier gear at CanadianPreparedness.com. But we're going to be doing a video in the coming days ahead that are going to show you three different options. One for if you have no money, what you can do in every aspect of preparedness. One if you are a person of modest means. And one if you are a person where money is no option. Okay, so stay tuned for that. This week, of course, we're showcasing the body armor component of things. If you don't have body armor and you have a lot of weaponry, it's like going into a hockey game and not having a goalie, okay? So make sure you get your first aid supplies, your trauma kits, all that stuff. You can pretty much find everything at CanadianPreparedness.com, but that is not going to last. So I'd encourage you to lock in whatever you need as soon as possible. Especially preparedness supplies, they don't really depreciate at all. I mean, with the exception of certain tech aspects. And right now, I should remind you that there is a tech bottleneck with thermal imagers. Thermal imagers are probably one of the few types of technology, I will say, which won't depreciate anytime soon. In fact, if you have one, hold on to it dearly, because they are in high demand right now. There is a backlog that they haven't seen since the start of the war. So make sure, if you can scoop one up, get one. We currently don't sell thermal imagers at CanadianPreparedness.com. We were in talks with some companies to do that, but that and drones. Okay, so if you want to get a drone, pick up a DJI mini drone before they're banned outright, because they will be banned soon. They just are the cheapest and most capable drones on the market that you can legally fly without a license. I think the House just passed a bill where they're going to be banning the DJI drones very quickly as well. Go back and watch our videos about things that will be made illegal. We predicted that one long time ago. Many years ago, I made a video where I talked about different things that were going to be made illegal. Among those were things like body armor, were things like high-powered flashlights. The government hasn't figured anything out about that yet, although they have started to regulate class 3B lasers, which using a white phosphor type technology a lot of flashlights are using, so they've been regulated out. But what else? Different types of ham radio and stuff like that. So, you know, just check out our previous content. We pretty much have a video on every single possible prepping topic you can imagine, which is not to say that I'm an expert. In fact, that's why I got to get going. I got a lot of work to do building out a greenhouse right now. So stay tuned, guys. Just keep on prepping and act as though you only have a few months. Just don't do anything stupid. Do not get demoralized. If you're watching this channel and you're one of these people who think that you're just not going to be able to make the cut, if and when something bad happens, I don't know why you would even focus on this stuff. Just go and put your head in the sand. You're better off, okay? But if you're somebody who feels that itch inside you that you need to survive for whatever reason, if only for your posterity, the next generation, your community, something outside yourself, now is the time to really get everything dialed in, okay? Thanks for watching.